die.
Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, that I might not sin, that I might not sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Thy word is all lamp to my feet, all light to my path always, to guide and to save me from sin, and to show me the heavenly way. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid, thy word have I hid, thy word have I hid in my heart. At morning, at noon, and at night, I would ever give you praise. Thou art my portion, O Lord, and shall be to all of my days. Thy word have I hid in my heart, and that I might not sin against thee, that I might not sin, that I might not sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Through him whom thy word has foretold, the Savior and morning star, salvation and peace has been brought for those who have strayed afar. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid, thy word have I hid, thy word have I hid in my heart. Now thy word have I hid, thy word have I hid, thy word have I hid in my heart. Yes, I have, my Lord. Yes, I have. Lord, Lord, praise
God. Let's stand together.
Amen.
Naomi is going to be busy for the next few weeks. You have to, like Pastor said, put up with my wife and I.
Praise God.
Studying for you this morning. This is a little preacher song. Be seated.
That next Sunday we will have a special that you haven't heard lately by a couple who are here in the church. Brother Roger Delisle and Jackie Enos sang a duet not long ago, and I'm going to twist their arms and see if we can get them to sing next Sunday morning for Father's Day. Am I right? How about that? All right. We'll have that special for Father's Day for sure. Dedicated to all the fathers. All right. Open your Bibles with me this morning to Matthew chapter 19. And if you looked at your bulletin, you notice there that the title of our message today is Impossible Situations. And here's our text in Matthew 19, beginning in verse 23 to get the context of it here. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now, that I want you to remember. With God, all things are possible. Now, that's easy for me to remember because this is 19:26, chapter 19, verse 26. And I can associate it with 19:26 because if you look in your bulletin, you'll find that's when I was born. I think it's got everything else in there about me. Anyway, so it's meaningful to all of us to know that with God, all things are possible. Now, that's the foundation that we're going to try to build on this morning. I'm sure that each one of us, at one time or another in our life, have faced situations that we deemed impossible. By the way, if you haven't had one lately, just hang around because it'll be here. It's coming. Impossible situations. They come to the very best of people, I'll tell you that for sure. But we're going to be using some Bible illustrations to make our point today. And you can use that blank page on your bulletin there to take notes if you like about this, because we're going to make several points about impossible situations. And the first one is this: impossible situations will come. Now don't sit there and think, "Well, that's for somebody else, that's not for me." You wait till you walk out. There's going to be one that'll hit you like a 2x4 right between the eyes. Amen. Impossible situation. You don't read far in the Bible before you run across some of these, particularly in the book of Exodus. You got over to the 14th chapter. That is a chapter of impossible situations, I'll tell you. The Israelites had been in bondage in Egypt for four generations. Way off right yonder in the desert, herding sheep, was a man named Moses. And so God spoke to Moses one day out there from a burning bush and said, "Moses, I'm going to send you down to Egypt to lead my people Israel out of their bondage." And he had to overcome a little reluctance, but finally Moses did what God told him to do. And he went down there and went before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, "Who's the Lord? I don't know him." And he wouldn't let him go. And so God says, "All right, I'm going to show you who I am." So he started sending plagues upon the Egyptians. And finally, they got so bad that Pharaoh was persuaded to let them go. And soon they found themselves, all of these Israelites, man, a couple of million of them probably, and they found themselves standing on the shore of the Red Sea. And no ferry boat was in sight. And coming up behind them was the Egyptian army, because Pharaoh had changed his mind. And the joy that they had had when they left Egypt was now replaced with the terror of imminent destruction that was coming upon them. They were either going to drown in the sea or they were going to be killed by Pharaoh's soldiers. Impossible situation, wasn't it? Well, you keep on reading the Bible, you run across a fellow by the name of Joshua. He led the children of Israel across on dry ground, across the Jordan River, and they came to Jericho. And God said, go take the city. Well, they marched around that thing every day for a week. They couldn't get in. All the gates were closed. They couldn't get in. It was an impossible situation. And finally, God made the walls fall down flat. They went in and took it. Impossible situation. I think about old Elijah. He was a great man of God. But look at him. He's under a juniper tree, praying that he might die. What's the matter with him? Impossible situation. Jezebel was after him. She's going to kill him. And he's way out there in the wilderness. How about the prophet Daniel? Cast into a den of lions. That's an impossible situation, isn't it? Think about the three Hebrew children cast into a burning fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter than the qualifications call for. Impossible situation. Think about old Jonah, tossed overboard into a stormy sea. God had prepared a big fish that swallowed him up. And now he finds himself in that fish's belly. Impossible situations will come. And I doubt that you'll have any of them that are as distressing as those were. But impossible situations prove God's faithfulness. For Israel, God opened up the Red Sea and they all went across safely on dry ground to the other side. And Pharaoh's army tried to follow them, and when they got out into the middle of the sea, God drowned all of them in the sea. He led his people into the wilderness. They said, we're hungry. God said, I'll feed you. He rained down manna from heaven and gave them food from heaven, fresh every day for 40 years. They said, we're thirsty. God said, Moses, smite that rock. Moses smote the rock, and that rock followed them, gushing out sweet, cool, refreshing water for 40 years. God provided for them. Oh, they got into a battle with some enemies. What happened there? An impossible situation? Yes. God made the sun and the moon to stand still in the heavens until Israel won the victory. Impossible situations will come, but they prove God's faithfulness. Elijah, sitting out in the wilderness beside of a creek. He had plenty of water. Didn't have anything to eat. Impossible situation? Yes. What happened? God sent ravens, and they swooped down on the king's table and picked up big steaks and collard greens and cornbread and all of that good stuff and a slice of watermelon and flew it over there to Elijah and fed him in the wilderness. Daniel in the lion's den gave God an opportunity to prove his faithfulness. He sent his angel and closed the lion's mouths, and there's no harm found on him. Time and time again. But listen, here's something else. Impossible situations are dangerous. They're dangerous. In this world, we're going to have our problems. And what we do with our problems is going to determine what kind of testimony we're going to have and what kind of It's our response to these situations that come into our lives. Now, sometimes trouble comes unexpectedly. Like a flat tire on a freeway. And you have no time to prepare. And sometimes you just don't know what to do. There's no preparation you can make before it hits. And that's where God comes in. As the Jews crossed the Red Sea, there was a wall of water on either side of them that could come tumbling down on them at any moment. Behind them comes the advancing armies of the Egyptian army. They were in a dangerous situation. This was a precarious position they were in. Daniel was in a dangerous place when he was in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in a dangerous place when they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Jonah was in a dangerous place when he was in that whale's belly down at the bottom of the sea. Wouldn't you agree? Usually when we get into an impossible situation, the first thing that we do is to look around and see who we can blame for the problems that we're having. It's not my fault. Now, I didn't do this. Somebody else is doing this to me. The Israelites, they came to Moses and said, "Moses, it's all your fault. If you'd have left us alone down there in Egypt, we'd be all right. Now look at the situation we're in. Impossible predicament." They even wanted to select another leader that would turn them around and take them back into Egypt. It just seems a natural thing to try to shift blame and put the responsibility for our problems on somebody else. At least Jonah knew who was to blame for his predicament, because he'd been running from God and he knew it. And he knew that he was getting his just reward. And sometimes in impossible situations, people forget to trust God. It seems to be human nature to forget what God has done for us. What do we learn from our past experiences that we've had? For instance, there's Israel. They'd been in Egypt. They'd seen the plagues come. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 10. They knew what God could do. But when the 11th one comes along, they forget what God's done in all the other 10, and they panic again. We forget the 10. And impossible situations sometimes causes us to lose hope. To lose hope. The Israelites thought they were either going to be drowned in the Red Sea or else they would be killed by the Egyptians. It seems that death was inevitable. They forgot that God had promised to deliver them and to lead them to a good land that was flowing with milk and honey. Now they had God's 7 I wills. Let me share them with you. Here's what God had given them. He said, "I will bring you out of your bondage," number one. Number two, "I will redeem you." Number three, "I will take you to me for a people." Number four, "I will be to you a God." Number five, "I will bring you into the land." Number six, "I will give it to you," that's the land, "for as an heritage." And then God said, trust me, I will take care of you. Five I wills from God. And yet, they tried to give up hope. I think about a time when the Apostle Paul was being transported from Caesarea to Rome. He was on a ship out in the Mediterranean Sea. They had a storm come up that lasted for not only days, but literally weeks. They didn't see the sun. Nothing but boisterous waves. And in fact, the Bible says in Acts 27, verse 20, about them, says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Okay? They'd been out there in that storm. They gave up hope. We'll never see land again. We'll never be rescued. But they were. They were. But it was an impossible situation. And they gave up hope. They didn't think there was a solution to their problem. Sometimes these impossible situations will challenge the leaders. I think of Moses. He stood before the people there on the banks of the Red Sea, and they could hear probably the rumble of the chariots of Pharaoh's army behind them. And he told them, he said, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. And they did. David said on one occasion, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. I like that. He says that you talk to God about it, and you put your problem in his capable hands, and then you turn over and go to sleep and let God take care of it. David said, the Lord is on my side. He said, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in men. Now, when trouble comes in these impossible situations, the devil is going to be around. And the devil is going to try to keep you from looking to God. He's going to make you think there's no possibility of your surviving. He wants you to keep your eyes on the problem instead of the solution. He tells you that God's not concerned about you. Don't bother him. Moses told the people, he said, the Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. Hezekiah on one occasion told his people, he said, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed, for there are more with us than there are with him that is the enemy. What does the Bible say? It says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. What's he looking for? Is he looking for some sinner that he can zap? Is he looking for somebody that he can judge and rain down fire and brimstone upon him? No. His eyes run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong unto them whose heart is perfect toward him. He said, there's somebody over there that needs some help. I'm going to help him. God's eyes are running to and fro all the time. And he sees someone. Hey, there's so-and-so in an impossible situation. And then he goes down and performs a miracle. Impossible situations, they always bring God's presence. I can just see Moses standing there on the banks of the Red Sea. There's no way to go back. They can't go back. They must go forward. God said to Moses, speak unto the people of Israel that they go forward. Forward. He told Moses. Moses, you're the leader. You stand here on the shore of this sea. That's far across, can't see the other side. He said, Moses, lift up thine hand over the sea. That's easy enough to do. Three more words. And divide it. Now, I could stand there and lift my hand over the Red Sea all day long. But Lord, am I going to divide it? How do you do that? That's an impossible situation, isn't it? He said, divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground. I'd hate to have an assignment like that. Moses knew he couldn't do it by himself. He couldn't do it without God. So what did he do? He did what God told him to do. Moses stretched out his hand over the waters. That's as far as he could go. And the Lord caused the sea to go back. All he did was stretch out his hand. He obeyed God in that impossible situation. Most all of you, I'm sure, have seen that on the movies, you know, television, this about the dividing of the sea and such as this. Boy, they really make a spectacular show out of it, don't they? But that's probably nothing like it really was if you were standing there beside Moses in that day. But you know, difficulties and discouragements and problems are no excuse for us not to obey God. God says, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in faith, believing, ye shall receive. That's what God said. Just stretch out your hand, and then God's the one that divides the waters, isn't he? Impossible situations. Give God an opportunity to display his strength and to get honor unto himself. He told Moses, he said, I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Pharaoh had a problem finding out who God was. Who is the Lord that I should obey him, he said. I know not the Lord. Well, he's about to find out, isn't he? Because God is going to show himself strong. In impossible situations, God protects his people. In reading there in Exodus, God's pillar of presence was with them. Remember that pillar? It was a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. And the pillar of God's presence moved from in front of them to behind them and stood between the armies of Egypt and the children of Israel on this side. And to the Egyptians, it was a wall of darkness. To the children of Israel, it was light. Gave God an opportunity to protect his people. when Daniel was younger in that lion's den. It gave God an opportunity to come down and send an angel to close the mouths of the lions so that no hurt was found upon Daniel. And then when those Hebrew children were thrown into that burning fiery furnace, it was heated 7 times hotter than the specifications called for. It was hot. It was so hot that the people who threw the men, strong men, who threw them into the furnace were burned to death. But no hurt was found upon them. God was with them as the fourth man in the fire. And when they were released, the smell of fire was not upon them. Not a hair on their bodies had been singed. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear him and delivers them. Remember that. Impossible situations always produce good. You find yourself in a dilemma and you say, how can anything good come out of this situation? The Bible says, in everything give thanks. Yeah. In everything give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Remember Romans 8:28? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. G-O-O-D, good, out of impossible situations. And in impossible situations, we can see the hand of God at work. The Bible says Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. They were safe on the other side, crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. They looked back. They saw the chariots of Pharaoh's army following them on dry ground across the Red Sea. And then all of a sudden, God loosened the hubcaps on the chariot wheels. And the wheels began to fall off of the chariots. And you had a traffic jam that Los Angeles and San Diego has never seen. And I have an idea that those soldiers standing there with the reins of their horses in their hands and looking at their wrecked chariots here, looked up at the walls of water, and about that time, whoosh, and it drowned every one of them. God did it. God was working, and the people saw it, and they were glad, and that gave them boldness, and that gave them confidence in God to see what God could do. The Bible says the people feared the Lord. So impossible situations cause us to reverence God. We give him the respect that he's due. They realized his holiness, his power, his love, his passion, his concern for them. Also it says they believed the Lord. That impossible situation increased their faith in God. This experience taught them to trust him, and their faith grew stronger. And then victory in this impossible situation caused them to rejoice in God's work. Now you'll find their victory song in the next chapter, the 15th chapter of Exodus, but let me just share some of it with you. Here it is. after they had seen God's hand of deliverance in this, they sang. They said, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? The Lord shall reign forever and ever. See, the Lord put a song in their hearts. Now, aren't you glad that this great God that we have can carry us through any problem and any situation that we find ourselves in? We can trust him, and we can know that he's going to win the battle and get glory for his great name. All we have to do is just be obedient and to be faithful, because nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And if you don't get something out of this message today to take home, you got too many holes in your bucket. Let's stand together with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your goodness and graciousness toward us. We thank you for your wisdom, your strength, and the honor that you get from us. And we pray, Lord, for each individual that's in this congregation today. And as we said in the beginning, there will be impossible situations, or situations that we call impossible. We'll get into situations that we can't get ourselves out of. We'll have to call on you to get us out, and we know that you will. We thank you that we have a God who shows himself strong on our behalf. And Father, if there's one here today that has problems, we pray that they would seek you and seek a solution to that problem and let you help them work it out. We are not expected to do it by ourselves. We can't do it alone. We need your help. So, Lord, we pray that you would intervene in our lives and show yourself strong on our behalf. If there's one here today that's lost and undone, it's never been saved, I pray that today might be the day when they will open their hearts by faith and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In his name we pray. Amen.
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 486.
486.
Rome at the cross for 486.
Service tonight. Be out here at 6 o'clock. And the Lord willing, this coming Wednesday night, we're going to start a Bible study in the book of Deuteronomy. And I would challenge you this week between now and then to begin reading the book of Deuteronomy. All right. Come on up here.
Here that says she's saved and she wants to join our church because she loves it.
come and say amen.
Amen.
Any opposition?
No.
No. Come on, and give her the right hand of Christian fellowship. Welcome, friend, into our tree.
Okay. jump up here.
I'm going to stay here and watch you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do that because I don't count or anything. I just put it together. Try to get the check. Just set me.
I'll get this over here now. Let's see here. Where does this go up here? Somewhere here. I forget. OACDC. On off. I don't. There's something new here. I don't understand all that.
Oh, it's all been moved back there.
I don't.
Everything's been moved back there. Huh? Everything's been moved back there now.
Even the light?
Not the light. No, you gotta turn that off.
Yeah. I get it. I got it.
It's right underneath the light itself. You gotta run your finger
up here.
Yeah. On top of it. Here.
Oh, I don't want to stay turned off. It's not that thing.
There you go.
I think you broke it. It's broken. See this?
There you go.
Did it. Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.